Welcome to episode 528 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther, and this is the show that puts you in control of your favorite movies, music, shows, and games. And Josh, I'm so glad to be back.
I think our fans are really glad to have you back.
Well, I don't know about that. You held your own pretty well. You had shorter shows, not surprising.
No, that's never
surprising. And everybody seemed to like them. So, hey, that's all good. And, you know, I'm here to make things drag out longer. And no, that's not the reason that I'm here. But I'm really glad to be back. I just a quick update. So I was actually helping my partner get through knee surgery, a knee replacement, actually. So it's been a hard 2 weeks as, you know, recuperating from that basically requires pretty much care on everything. Sitting up, standing down, sitting down, getting in bed, getting out of bed, every little thing. So
I'm trying to envision you in a nurse costume.
Yeah, don't do that, please. I'm never gonna, no. Nope. Nope.
like World War II era nurse costume.
Yep, not happening. I think we should move on to our feedback. And we have one message, a fairly long message from a longtime listener, Larry. And we haven't heard from Larry in a long time, actually. So he sent his message to us at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com, like you can too. And Larry said, first, let me thank you for the podcast. I've been listening since close to the beginning when Adam was host. It was the podcast that caused me to move to Windows Media Center back in 2011. Just a moment of reverence there.
2011, that was kind of late.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, that was 3 years after Windows 7 came out. 2 years after Windows 7 came out.
Yeah, that's true. I was back. I was actually playing with it in XP, and I used it seriously starting from Vista.
But yeah.
Anyway, all right. So he says, I still have two Windows 7 Media Center PCs, two Silicon Dust HD Home Run Primes with cable card, and a Windows Home server. More on that later.
Wow.
We also have a Roku Ultra that we use to watch Hulu Basic that we get for free. I plan to keep using this setup for cable until my HD Home Run stop working. Yeah. Yes, I hear you. I'm going to keep using mine till mine stop working. But wow, two Media Center PCs. I'm envious. I miss Media Center so bad.
Yeah, that's impressive.
All right. So he goes on now for a couple quick items. First, what do you think about Microsoft removing the Xbox Live Gold 12-month option from the store?
Well,
Josh, I think this question is for you.
I don't know. This could be for you. You probably have opinions, but we're actually going to answer that later in the show. That is one of our gaming topics tonight. So we'll come back to that one.
Spoilers. All right. Second, for your homework, he says, what 10 cable channels would I pick to have? Well, we have already had to do that to a certain extent. I live in the Kalamazoo, Michigan area. We have Charter Spectrum. A year or so ago, they came out with Spectrum TV Choice, an option where you get all locals and you choose 10 additional non-premium channels. So we sat down and figured out what 10 channels we wanted. My wife watches my grandchildren 4 days a week, so we needed some kids' channels. We picked CNBC, Disney Channel, Disney Junior, Game Show Network, Nickelodeon, History, Investigation Discovery, Oxygen, USA Network, and WeTV. Believe it or not, we really only watch the locals, the two Disney channels, Game Show Network, and a little bit of History and CNBC. We have Investigation Discovery because my wife binge watches ID Go on the Roku. So there you go. Homework complete.
I didn't know that any cable provider or anything has ever done anything like this before.
No, I didn't know it either. I didn't know they could get away with it.
Right. That's awesome.
It is awesome. That said, come on. Pick a name, Spectrum. Just, like, go with one of them, okay? I'm tired of calling you Charter Spectrum.
Right.
Anyway, so he says, finally, Richard has been talking about upgrading and shutting down his Windows home server. Well, about 11 years, after 11 years, I finally retired my Windows home server V1.
Oh my gosh.
I had ordered an HP MediaSmart EX485 from Newegg in July 2019. It had over 4 terabytes disk space.
You messed that up. July 2009.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, right. July 2009. Of course. What am I thinking? I'm not used to seeing dates like that. It had over 4 terabytes of disk space. So the media centers were connecting to it. I've been worrying for a year or so the hardware could die at any time. And this January, I had the good fortune to be able to acquire a used Dell PowerEdge server from a customer of mine. So I installed a Windows Home Server 2011 VM on it and migrated all the data. Okay, so that's kind of... You're still with Windows Home Server, which is impressive.
Right.
All right.
Isn't that also discontinued in terms of support?
I don't think it's supported anymore. I hadn't seen an update for mine for a long, long time.
Yeah.
So he closes saying, so that's where I am. I still watch cable, primarily for the networks and local news. I'll run Media Center until it stops working, and I stream Hulu and IDGo about half the time. Thanks for a great podcast.
Thanks for the message. Also, I don't think it's weird when he says that they primarily watch network television. I think that's true for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, that's where most of the shows are that people are talking about. And especially the shows that you're watching on a normal evening. Like, that is where all of the main shows are. That's not where House of Cards and, you know, well, actually, that's a streaming show. So, but it's
no,
not.
No, but that's a good point, right?
Well, Game of Thrones is what I was thinking of. Stuff like that that's on HBO. Right. And there are some, premium, like Better Call Saul, which is on cable. But so many of the shows that people watch are on network TV.
Yep.
Well, that's cool. Thank you for writing in, Larry. I am shocked that you still have all of that old stuff running and working and that it's all still working really well for you. Cheers. I hope it keeps working. We've also got a listener in the chat who says he just moved and had to give up his Media Center PC from roughly 2009 that had a very first generation Seton PCI Express cable card tuner and an HD Home Run Prime.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Those are old.
Wow. All right. Well, let's dive into it. We have really only one video story, so let me cover that real quickly. Plex. Every once in a while, we hear of some updates from Plex. It hasn't really been all that active lately.
No.
But we have talked about how they were planning to come out with streaming live TV, and it is here. So you now have 80 new channels, and there's nothing on. Oh, wait, sorry, I didn't mean to sell it that way. There are now 80 new live TV channels on Plex, with over half of them being in HD. You know, I didn't necessarily recognize any of these, but it felt like, for lack of a better way of putting it, the usual suspects.
Mm.
Nothing major in terms of an actual name brand cable station. Yahoo Finance is probably the biggest brand name that they have that I recognized of anything. And even then, I was like, oh, Yahoo has a finance channel? Yahoo's still doing anything? That's cool. All right.
They're good. Still in business.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So anyone who uses Plex has this available to them, whether you pay for a subscription service through them or not.
And regardless of what country you're in.
And regardless, I think they said like 200 and some countries.
Yeah, I didn't even know there were 220 countries. That's everyone's new
changing
homework. List all 220 countries where Plex is supported.
No, please don't. No, the homework is find the country that doesn't have it. But what What I think is interesting is that this is because it's ad supported. They say it's not going to be that, you know, it's not going to be too obnoxious. It's going to be just, you know, an expected amount of ads. They are calling them bathroom breaks or ad breaks. Here's what concerns me. They said that they're considering maybe taking promotional videos from customers and that they could send them in and maybe play those too. Jeez, I hate the sound of that.
So, like, you could make a video and it could become an ad on Plex TV?
Right. Like, why? A, why would I do that? B, why would I want to see anyone who did that?
What if we made an Entertainment 2.0 commercial?
We could, but don't you think that's maybe, I don't know, cheating? Because that's actually advertising.
I mean, if you call advertising cheating, I guess.
I'm not ponying up the money for an ad spot if we have to pay for it.
No, no.
Anyway, 80 channels, they're available in a grid guide. Interesting to note, not the same grid guide that your actual TV stations appear in if you have an antenna or a network tuner hooked up to this. Yeah, it's different than that. For some reason, it shows up in a different library. Actually, it's called the Live TV from Plex library that will be in your left hand column. I think it shows up automatically once it's available. It wasn't available for me. In fact, I couldn't get an update. I was told that my server was up to date, even though I didn't have this yet. But if I logged into the online version that I might watch if I'm traveling or something, then I was able to see it. Did you get a chance to try this out, Josh?
I didn't get a chance to try it, although if I would have, it probably would have been on this computer. So if the web browser experience is getting it first, then I would have seen it. Yeah, I think this just came out today. So.
Yeah, I think so too, but I assume, and maybe I'm wrong, but I assume this is going to require a server update.
Probably, yeah. So does it drive you insane that there's now two separate live TV sections?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, one's called Live TV and DVR, and the other is called Live TV in Plex or something like that, or Live TV from Plex. What?
Well, yeah. I
each
guess
with their own grid.
The nice thing about it, though, is if you hate it, it's easy to hide.
Absolutely, but they could have built it in a way that was more integrated. It could have been a part of your existing Live TV section if you have one. If you don't have one, then add one for people.
And but, maybe they'll do that eventually, but this was the faster way to get it out.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Anyway, you know, this is great if you don't have Pluto or Fubo or no, Fubo doesn't have this. What's the other one that has this?
Oh gosh. Tubi? Sure. I can't keep all of these free streaming TV services that air nothing that I care about straight.
Right. Or TiVo Plus.
Right. Yeah, that's another one. Again. Yeah. Nothing there I want to watch.
Or LG channels. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Let's move on to an audio story. And this one is an update to YouTube Music. So this is Google's like 47th app for handling music streaming on the go. And... this is the one that they're sticking with, at least for the next 9 months, I would guess. And a cool, fun social feature to add to your own playlist inside of YouTube Music, you can now collaborate. They've added a collaborate button to the playlist editor. And when you click it, it gives you a link that you can send to a friend. And then they have access to the playlist. Then they have complete access. Like they can say, all of your music sucks and delete it all. From the playlist, or I mean, you're probably not collaborating with jerks. So more likely, they're just going to add some songs to the playlist that they think would fit. And it's not just one person, like you can send it to multiple people. And if you're like, wow, this song is really great. I wonder who put it in here so that I can ask them for more recommendations. Well, it puts everybody's names next to the songs that they added to the list. So I think that makes a ton of sense. It's a really cool feature. You know, Spotify doesn't really have this yet. You can share a playlist with people so that they can listen to it, but it's more of a subscription type thing. Like if I make a list, I can send it to Richard and and he can listen, but he can't edit it at all. So I think that's cool. Jen and I think, could collaborate on some pretty good playlists that we would both enjoy. So I like that feature a lot. And then the other thing that they're adding, and I, of course, have to throw out the term machine learning here. And I had to say it just because I knew it would make Richard angry. But this isn't really anything revolutionary either, but it is a nice feature to have where once you've finished listening to a playlist, you know, maybe you're not really paying super close attention because you're working or something. It'll just keep playing music that it thinks, because of its machine learning, that it thinks would fit on this playlist. Spotify does the exact same thing. I'm sure a lot of the other services do too. I'm talking about it like, ooh, it's not really that big of a deal, but it is a really nice thing to have. And I have discovered cool songs from Spotify doing this with my own playlist. So it is, maybe it's not a big deal. Maybe this is something that all of the services should have, and especially a service like YouTube Music. I mean, YouTube, it feels like the service exists just to get you to keep watching more and more videos, right? So it's the same thing here, just with audio.
Yeah, I kind of wish that they didn't tack this onto the end of your own playlist. I kind of wish that this were an option where you had a playlist and you could say, generate a new playlist based on this.
Mm.
So that it was separate from your own stuff, but it was all new discovery for you. I think that, to me, that would be better. I don't like that it's messing with what I identify as my playlist.
Right.
Not that I have YouTube Music. I don't. I won't.
It's not a bad service. It's pretty good. I just don't have any reason to switch. Like, it's not better than YouTube in any meaningful way. Or, I mean, better than Spotify in any meaningful way that's going to get me to switch. But it is good.
Sure. I have too many music services already. And I don't, frankly, trust YouTube. Sorry, I don't trust Google to keep anything as they currently offer it as a product.
Yeah, that's a fair statement. Kind of jives with how I led into the story, really. So, yeah. All right, well, if you've been considering YouTube Music, maybe this is the feature that puts it over the edge for you, and you should go and check it out. Okay, so on to the gaming stuff. And, you know, I feel like for all of these topics, I almost spent more time trying to figure out the order in which I should talk about them than I did just writing notes. Because there's a lot of really interesting things here going on with Xbox as they prepare to launch the next generation, the Xbox Series X. And that's the main reason why we actually delayed when we recorded the show this week. We're recording on Thursday instead of Tuesday because Xbox had their Xbox Games showcase today. This was the event where they had said, this will be the event where we show you a whole bunch of first party games. And it wasn't just first party, but it was the first party games that they were going to showcase specifically for Xbox Series X, the next games. So of course they started with Halo. We got like an 8-minute demo of actual gameplay of Halo, which is pretty impressive. And it looks great. I mean, it looks like what Halo should be in 2020. It looks pretty awesome. They ended with the not-so-surprise announcement that they are working on a new Fable game. That's a really big deal. Fable has lots and lots and lots of fans, and there hasn't been a real Fable game since early in the Xbox 360 era, I think. It's been that long. So that was their, you know, one more thing kind of moment. But in between, they showed a lot of brand new games that we've never heard of, a few from some of the many Xbox Games Studios. So we saw Avowed, which is a new fantasy role-playing game from Obsidian. We saw State of Decay 3. That was a very short clip. So was Avowed, frankly. And then an interesting one, I thought for sure, like, it would be, here's a whole bunch of Halo, and then next up, here's a whole bunch of Forza Motorsport. It's been 2 or 3 years since we've had a Forza Motorsport. So it's like, obviously, Forza Motorsport is going to be a launch title, right? No, it's not.
Really?
Yeah, it's not. They showed it a little bit. They were like, you have to see how amazing this looks, guys. Like, check out the ray tracing. This looks gorgeous. And it does. It is mind-blowingly beautiful. And it was
coming sometime.
Well, yeah, kind of. Because what they said is it's in early development. How is this in early development?
Wow.
Right. I have no idea how this is in early development, because it's not the same. This is made by Turn 10 Studios, which is not the same studio that makes the Forza Horizon games. So it's not like they've been busy working on Forza Horizon stuff. So what have they been doing?
Right.
I don't get that. Right.
And it's not like the events of the last 4 months would be the thing impacting the schedule. We would have expected that they'd have started this mid last year.
At least.
At least. Right.
Yeah. If not a couple of years ago. And that was one of the things that I always really liked about the Forza series compared to the Gran Turismo series, is they released games pretty frequently. You know, it was like every couple of years you would get a new Forza Motorsport game. Whereas with Gran Turismo, it was like every 5 years you would get a new game. So they obviously showed a lot of games. We're not going to talk about all the games here. People, you're not tuning into Entertainment 2.0 to hear my take on a whole bunch of games. What is interesting is how many of these games are exclusives, how many of these games are coming soon, you know, how many games actually had release dates. A whole lot of exclusives, especially a lot of console launch exclusives, and the all of the modifiers that they start putting on exclusive is getting ludicrous, because console launch exclusive now means it will exclusively be on Xbox in terms of consoles, because it's also going to be on PC. And we have to throw the launch in there because it means that it's only going to be a timed exclusive window. It'll eventually come to PlayStation. So, like, they just want to be able to say exclusive with as many modifiers as possible. But there were only a handful of games with, well, there were only a couple of games with actual release dates. And the ones that they showed with actual release dates, most of them were games that we've already heard of. And almost all of them are games that are coming out on Xbox One first. There are others that are Xbox Series X games that will be playable on Xbox One that are coming out this year. But since they still haven't told us the date for when Xbox Series X is coming out, they just say holiday 2020, or they just say 2020. So you have to presume it's within a few weeks of the Xbox Series X launching, but we still don't know when that is. Which maybe that's the big spoiler here for the rest of this story. We still don't know the date, and we still don't know the price. But they actually did like tweet last week. They were like, listen, you're not getting a price next week. You're not getting a date or a price next week. Okay, fine. We're here to watch the games, which makes sense. So a little disappointing that we're not getting dates. A little disappointing that a lot of the cool new games that they showed definitely are not going to be in the release window. I mean, there are some where they didn't announce anything resembling a date. Like Forza, they didn't say like 2021. They just said it's in early development. And that was the case for a few of them.
I would think, Josh, that the things that are now being promoted as holiday timeframe, and probably even the reason for not giving a date yet for the console, that's legit COVID problems.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, I think knowing how your supply chain and your the projects that were originally destined to be complete and ready to ship by some date in November are really going to play out now, given everything we know and don't know, I think it's too risky to bet on.
Okay. That could be. Yeah, it could be. So let's talk about the rest of the stuff that has happened in the last week, because it's actually been a way busier week for Xbox than I would have expected. You know, knowing that we were going into this event, I would have expected no other news, but that was not the case at all. Earlier, they mentioned or announced, well, they they put out a really long post about basically all of the reasons why you should be an Xbox gamer. And I basically agree with the whole article. But at the very end of it, they said, oh, and also Project xCloud, that thing we've been betaing for like over a year now, it's coming out for real. It's coming in September. It's going to get a new name, but we don't know what the name is. And
the Washington football. No. Yeah.
The Microsoft game streaming service.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's not being as poorly named as NFL football teams. No, they're in Seattle where they name things really well, like the Seattle Kraken. Come on. That was awesome. No.
That was
so
awesome.
We don't know what the name is, but most importantly, we do know the price now. And when we had talked about this like a year ago when it launched, I said, you know, this service by itself could be $20 a month. Like some of the competing services are $20 a month. It's not $20 a month. They're bundling it into Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, which means it's $15 a month, but not really. It's almost like it's free. Because you're still getting all of the rest of the stuff that's in Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. And if you're not sure what all of that is, it's Game Pass. So it's all of the, you know, the Netflix of games, basically a library of over 100 games that you can just download and play whenever you want. Because it's Ultimate, you can do that on an Xbox One and a Windows 10 PC. And the Ultimate service includes Xbox Live Gold, which is the service that's required for you to be able to play games online, like to do online multiplayer. And Xbox Live Gold also includes usually 4 free games every single month. So they're just adding this pretty awesome game streaming service right into Game Pass Ultimate. And the other thing that they said, which was also a question, is what is this library going to look like? Because right now it's over 50 games and it's a big mix of games. It's not all Game Pass games. It's got a lot of third-party games and it's all free to do right now. And it sounds like they're switching it to just be Game Pass games. And they're saying that it'll launch with over 100 Game Pass titles. And that makes a lot of sense, but I also wonder if you own a game that's not in Game Pass, are you going to be able to play that? They didn't specifically say so, but they're kind of implying that eventually you will, but maybe not at launch. So what do you think of this price? Like, is this kind of so good that it's a bad sign?
No, I'm kind of shocked. I mean, I wonder if this, again, I wonder if this was their original plan. Or if they adjusted the plan based on companies trying to figure out how to appeal to consumers now, in the world that we're living in now. And the fact that if you're already paying for Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, and this is just going to be a part of that, and it's not going to cost anymore, that's kind of mind-blowing. It also suggests that they're all in on this Game Pass Ultimate thing, right?
Yes.
Like they really want to get you off the physical media.
Oh, I didn't think about it from that perspective. Yeah, for sure.
Well, I mean, that's how I've always thought of Game Pass Ultimate. You know, it's kind of like the alternative. It's like the Netflix of buying a movie. Instead of going out and getting the disc, or sure, you could maybe buy it digitally, just stream it from us. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, it's available for us, just stream it. And yeah, by the way, if you happen to have it, then it's also available to you.
Right. Yeah, I wrote a post about this for the Digital Media Zone. And when I was tweeting about it, I was saying, basically, Xbox Game Pass is already the best value in gaming, period. Like, I can't think of anything that even comes close to the value of Game Pass. And all they've done is make it better. And, you know, they've got a really cool vision for this. A couple of scenarios here. One is I'm playing a game at home. Now I got to go to work. Maybe on my lunch break, I can grab my phone and keep playing right where I left off on the same game. That's awesome. They've also talked in that specific blog post about the concept of these games are friggin' enormous and they take a long time to download unless you have ridiculously fast internet. But, you know, some of these games are over 100 gigs nowadays. If you can stream it through Project X Cloud while you're waiting for it to download, no more waiting. Like, that's right. One of the biggest downsides to the digital purchases of games is if you want to play it like the moment it comes out, well, you kind of can't unless they allow you to pre-download the game. And they do that for a lot of games, but right. not all of them. So that's another really cool possibility that comes with this service. And so far, Sony doesn't seem to have an answer to any of this stuff. But it leads us into the next conversation. And this is what Larry was asking about in his message at the beginning of the show. Microsoft has stopped selling 1 year Xbox Live Gold subscriptions. You've always been able to buy it in like 1 month, 3 month, 6 month, and 12 month subscriptions. And when you buy a year of it at a time, you save a bunch of money on it. So that's what most people did. Why? Why would they do that? And the reason I slotted this story here is because I wonder if they're planning to make a change to how all of these different subscriptions work. Because now they have Xbox Live Gold as a monthly subscription. They have Game Pass as a subscription. They have Game Pass for PC as a subscription. They have Game Pass Ultimate as a subscription. They have all of these different subscriptions.
And doesn't Game Pass Ultimate basically include Live?
Yes.
Like what you would get with Live Gold?
Exactly.
Right.
Right. So that's confusing. That's really confusing for the end user. So
that's true. And far be it from Microsoft to be confusing in their SKUs.
Right. Right. But maybe they're learning their lesson here. So I wonder if it means that maybe they're going to drop, like, I think one possibility, because if you go month to month on Xbox Live Gold right now, it's $10 a month, which is the same price as Game Pass.
Right.
So, like, you shouldn't ever do that. You should always buy it in the bigger chunks because you can get a year. Like, the MSRP of a year of Xbox Live Gold is $60. So,
right.
What are you doing paying month to month? It does make me wonder if they're going to rebrand all of this as Game Pass and maybe make what we call Live Gold right now, like a $5 entry tier, and say it gets you online, plus it gets you those four-ish free games a month. We're calling that Game Pass. But I don't know. See, even as I talk it out more, it doesn't really make a lot of sense.
No.
Unless they change. Oh, so here's how it could work, although this would kind of suck. It could be for $5 a month, it's just Xbox Live Gold, and they call that Game Pass. $10 a month gets you what we currently call Game Pass Ultimate, but then in September, the new Game Pass Ultimate is the one that has all of them, including Project X Cloud. So for $10 a month, you would get our current Game Pass and Gold. For $15 a month, you get Gold, all of the Game Pass stuff, and Project X Cloud.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. I think that makes a lot more sense. If I were a product management consultant, hey, how about that? I think my recommendation would be roll this into your lower tier. And part of the reason for that, and part of the reason that that makes sense for them as they continue to try to be a services company, is that Live Gold is something that technically a lot of people could live without. If you go and get a bunch of games and you're the kind of person that doesn't necessarily need the collaboration and team play that Live Gold enables, you just want to play stuff yourself. And maybe that's not a big gamer. That's more of like a me gamer, but a little bit more than me gamer, because how often do I really game? But you know, you don't need to keep paying for Live Gold.
Right.
You just go, you get free stuff, and then if you're tired of paying, you stop paying. Whereas the other model is more of a free drugs model, where you pay and you get all of this stuff. And what you get keeps getting better and better and better. So why wouldn't you go with that?
Right, right. You know, and you describe the gamer who doesn't need online multiplayer as like, maybe that's not very many people, but that's exactly what I do on PlayStation.
Yeah, okay.
I have a PS4. I only play single player games on it. I don't even own a second controller for on the off chance that my kids might want to play. Nope, not buying you a controller. I don't have any games you'd be interested in because I'm playing The Last of Us and like all of these dirty, gritty, scary, like, sorry, kids, this ain't for you. So I don't think that that's that uncommon. And there's also, some people out there who are like primarily PC gamers or maybe primarily, you know, the opposite of me, primarily PlayStation gamers who do want an Xbox just to play some of those Xbox exclusives, or they've got an Xbox because they do just want to play some of the console games.
Right.
So that does make sense. So we'll see. I'm very curious to see what this means, because I really don't think this is just a temporary thing. I think it's probably gone for good. Okay. Just a couple more quick stories here. So the last one is that, and this comes from IGN, and this was from an interview that they had done with Phil Spencer, from, you know, the head of Xbox. And when Xbox Game Pass was first announced a couple of years ago now, one of the things that Microsoft said about the service is we'd really like to have it everywhere. Like, it'd be kind of cool if it was on every platform. Yeah, okay, it would be, but I don't know that anybody really thought that would actually happen. And it sounds like it's not going to happen. So he was quoted in this interview as saying, "The thing about other gaming console platforms is we're not able to bring a full Xbox experience on those platforms." Well, no kidding. Like, you didn't expect them to also implement Xbox Live Party System and Xbox Live Achievements and all that stuff. Like, that wasn't going to happen. What I want them to do instead, and this is probably even less likely to happen, but maybe, is to give us xCloud on other platforms, but primarily on Nintendo Switch, because playing Xbox games on my phone might kind of suck unless I have, you know, a controller with me and all that stuff. And we've talked about some good controller solutions there. But on the Switch, it's all already there. That would be awesome. I would love to grab my Switch and play an Xbox game. And I know that sounds super weird, but it would be awesome.
No. It makes sense, but that's not going to happen. And part of the reason why it's not going to happen is because of their go-to-market strategy of xCloud not being a thing of itself, like of its own. It is basically going to be a type of experience you can have through Game Pass.
Yeah. So does that mean that there's no chance of me getting it on a Switch then?
That's what I'm suggesting. Yeah,
there's no chance of that. Why are you crushing my dreams again, Richard? Dang it. Is playing an Xbox game on my Switch too much to ask, really? Yeah. All right. Last real quick one. I believe I mentioned this last week, or maybe it was the week before when this got announced. The Xbox is doing this Summer Game Fest demo event thing. That started a couple of days ago, actually. This is an event they're doing on the Xbox console where you can go and download demos of over 70 games. And these are basically the demos that game publishers would have made available at E3 and Gamescom and Tokyo Game Show if any of those events could have actually happened this year. So they are very limited experiences. They are meant for that type of experience where you're only going to play for a few minutes or whatever. These are not like the full polished demos that you're used to getting on a console. They're much smaller, probably bite-sized chunks of games just to introduce you to the game. All of it's free, all of it's available now, but it's only for a few days. This only runs through July 27th, so you've only got a couple of more days to check this out. But there's a lot of cool games in there, so go and check them out, and then maybe most importantly, let the developers know what you think of their game so that they know what direction they should be going. All right, that's it for our gaming news. That's it for all of the news. If before we get into what's going on in our entertainment center, I always like to ask just one favor of you. If you like the show, share it. Let some other people know about the show. Share it on social media. Share it in person. Maybe not in person. Can you share a podcast in a socially distant way, 6 feet away?
Yeah, not right now. Don't share it in person right now.
Yeah, maybe not. So social media or whatever, let people know about the show. We would love it if you would do that for us. Now, Richard, it's time to get into what's going on in our entertainment centers. The most important question I have to ask you is, when during this segment are we talking about Hamilton?
It is the last thing that I will talk about because it's a good bridge between what you and I have both watched.
Okay.
All right. So I will try to be quick. First off, it's been 3 weeks, so there's a little bit of a disclaimer, right? I finally retired my old iMac, and that meant having to get rid of a whole bunch of files that were on that and put them somewhere. So that included photographs, it included videos, all kinds of media, and it all went out on the Synology. But with those photographs, here I am again trying to figure out how to manage all of my photographs. And you've heard me lament that I missed Picasa. Picasa being a product that Google once purchased. It was really good photo management software. Google purchased it, brought it into their family, and killed it, like they always do. The last version of Picasa that was available is a 32-bit piece of software, which I can no longer run on my Mac. So I set up a VM of the last version of macOS on my Mac so that I could still run Picasa. Because Picasa is where I invested, like, I can't even imagine how many hours, days and days and days of time cataloging and tagging and organizing and editing photographs through Picasa. And I still need to figure out a way how to get that out of Picasa and into some other format. One of the things that I had looked at was this software ACDC I had talked about. And I had mentioned how I didn't like that it forced me to log in to just use the software offline. Well, I learned that you can actually use it offline. The only reason that they require you to have an account and to log in is to manage the authentication, the licensing of the software, which is fair because AC/DC back in the day was pretty heavily pirated.
Mm.
So they probably want to make sure that people are really paying for it. I did end up buying a copy because they had it on sale for like $40. It's normally $100, but you know, it's like one of those things where it's never full price, but $40 was the cheapest that I'd seen it. So I'm like, okay, I'll just buy a license and I'll play with it. It does see some of the Picasa tagging, but not all of it. So I'm not quite there yet, and I'm going to have to still keep figuring this out. The good news that I found out on the Synology side is that Synology has a really weird photo management solution. And in fact, there are two different solutions. One's called Photos, one's called Moments. They work completely differently. They share no common library. And I learned that Synology is actually merging those into one project. So I want to see what that product ends up being. And when that comes out, maybe that will be the solution. But meanwhile, I still don't have a good photo management.
You know, Handsome Rob in the chat wanted to remind you that Windows 10 runs 32-bit apps just fine. You didn't have to put macOS in that VM. You could have put a more productive
have a Windows
OS.
I have a Windows 10 VM too. I just don't use it for anything but testing. It's yeah, that's it. Only testing. All right. So one more thing. I finally moved Plex off of this little old Lenovo. I don't even know what I would call it. Like a mini itty bitty computer thing that I had, and moved it onto my Synology. So it's now in a Docker container on my Synology. And I say all that only knowing those words and barely knowing what it means, that there's like an encased thing that Plex is running in, and it's for thinking it's running on its own computer and it's perfectly happy. And Plex seems to be working better than ever.
Great. So
that's good. Right. Right. All right. Now, it's been so long since we've talked that I have finished so much television, it's ridiculous. I finished watching the second season of Jack Ryan. I finished the first season of What We Do in the Shadows, and we're starting the second season of that. I finished all of Heartstrings. I finished The Politician, the second season of Politician that I had just started. I am up to date, like day by day, with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because that is so good this season. I'm watching it the day it comes out. In fact, one time I tried to watch it while it was recording on Plex. Josh, have you ever tried to record or tried to watch something while it's recording on Plex?
I think I did, like, when all of that functionality first came out just to test it, and I haven't since then.
What a pain in the backside. I mean, it is just no fun at all. You and I are so spoiled by the TiVo experience. Of course, nothing shows up as having been recorded until it's done.
Right.
So you have to go find it in the guide and then watch it from there. And then, oh, by the way, when the live time is over, then your DVR capabilities stop working properly. So then you have to go to the recorded version to actually be, what a hassle, mm-hmm. What a hassle. So now I just wait for it to record, and I've been watching it as soon as it finishes recording, usually the night of, because it's been really, really good this season. Continuing to watch Archer season 6, I resumed House of Cards, which I had abandoned, wow, literally years ago in season 4, because I was watching too much television. So now with having so much of this stuff finished, I can pick up some old stuff, pick that up. I'm now in season 5. I watched the special interactive movie that they made for The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. I am over this interactive TV stuff. I'm totally over it. Choose your own adventure. No, nope, nope, nope. Particularly when you design the maze in such a way that nearly every turn you take is a dead end and it forces you back to watch a different scene. Anyway, what is the point? I really, really disliked this. By the way, talking about disliking things, I watched something on Peacock. I watched the 30 Rock special that they had. This was an hour-long commercial for NBC Universal content, sponsored by NBC Universal. All the ads. Oh, yeah, it had ads. It was an ad, but it had so many ad breaks, all for NBC Universal properties.
Wow. Was the show itself any good?
It had moments that were entertaining, and that's the best that I can say for it.
Wow.
Yep.
Is this the only thing you watched on Peacock?
Yep.
What did you think of the rest of the experience?
It's okay. I don't like that. I don't like this anyway, but it's yet another one of those apps that has created a one-size-fits-all application for all platforms. So it's kind of Fire TV-like, but it's kind of Apple TV-like, and it doesn't really feel like it fits perfectly in any place, but it's fine. It's fine. I, you know, they're pulling the same crap where you have series where you get to see some things for free and other things you would have to pay. Mm. They're clearly marking what you have to pay for. So that's good. But then they also have stuff where, oh, and like for this thing, you can only watch the last 6 episodes. Come on.
Oh, that's
even if I'm paying.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. By the way, I'm not paying. I think right? I've made that pretty clear, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I downloaded the app. I looked through, saw there is a lot of really good shows in there.
But absolutely.
I haven't watched anything on it yet.
Absolutely. There is a ton of stuff out there. So, you know, it's not like they're at a one at, for content. This is a good content library. I'm just not going to pay for it. All right. So on Netflix, watch two very kind of similar shows, both in the weird, not really horror, but I guess like Victorian horror theme. So we've tried both Warrior Nun and Cursed. Warrior Nun, a show where there's like good and evil forces, and they're literally armies in current day that are fighting each other. And one of the factions is a group of nuns. And then Cursed, where this person is basically like, I don't know that I can even describe this, but Cursed is basically blending like vampire stuff and a whole bunch of other stuff into this horror genre thing that is kind of all the rage. So everybody's doing it. I will probably watch an episode more of each to see if we stick with it or not. But, you know, neither one of these was phenomenal, but it was interesting. And then we watched some movies. We watched The Art of Racing in the Rain. Seriously good movie. Very sad. Seriously good movie.
I want to see that.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I really enjoyed it. Really sad. Aladdin, the live version of Aladdin, it was fine. I heard really good things about it. It was fine. And then this movie about this musical called Hamilton. I've watched that a couple times now, actually.
It was so bad. Plus, you had to watch it a second time just to make sure it was really as bad as you thought it was.
And I've watched some scenes many times. And I understand that you also watched it.
I did. I watched it the day it came out. I thought it was going to be a family event, but I had the day off work. My wife had the day off work because it was July 3rd. So it was basically Independence Day observed. And So I slept in, got up, went for a run, came back from my run, and they're like halfway through the first act. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you watching this without me? I thought we were watching together. No, we didn't watch it together. I had to watch it by myself. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I'm as we're recording, there's a thunderstorm coming in my area. So you may hear this behind me as I'm talking. So I apologize. I think I mentioned that Jenny and Anthony and I did a special episode about this where we used to do Let's Talk About Thrones. We have a new feed. It's called Let's Not Talk About Thrones. And the first thing that we're talking about is Hamilton. I come into this from so little background. I don't listen to hip hop music. I don't know anything about Hamilton. I'm not an American history guy. It's just not my thing. And I'd never seen the show. I'd never talked to anybody that saw the show. So I'm basically coming into it blind. And I think you're probably a little bit better off than me there. But we were both wondering, so how do we approach this? And I did the same thing that you described when you were talking about how you watched it, which I think is what Jose had recommended, where we watch it first, then listen to the soundtrack, and then maybe watch it again to catch things that you didn't catch. And through the soundtrack and through rewatching, you know, you'll kind of fill in the gaps if there were any. And I'm really glad that I took that approach.
Yeah, me too. So our experiences aren't exactly the same because I used to listen to a lot of hip hop as white guys who grow up in tiny rural Midwest America often do. Obviously, I listened to a ton of hip hop growing up.
I'm like, wait, what? Where are you going with this?
I know that's maybe not expected, but yeah, I listened to a ton of hip hop when I was a teenager. And then Tupac died. And what I like to say is rap died with Tupac. So I just don't listen to rap anymore. But so I didn't really have any problems at all following or being able to understand the words or what was being said. Like you, I didn't really know the Hamilton story very well. I mean, I obviously know the basics of the American Revolution and how our country started, but very little about Hamilton himself. I had no problem understanding what was going on, no problem understanding the lyrics, and I have listened to the soundtrack about 100 billion times since then, although none of those times have I been like actually gone and pressed play, it's because the rest of my family can't stop listening to it. So
it's just
always on in my house.
I hope this doesn't become the Frozen soundtrack for you and you can't stand it at some point.
The only songs that I can't stand are the King George songs. I'm so sick of the King songs.
Oh my God, they're awesome.
they're really good in the moment. Once the joke is worn off, like I don't need to keep hearing them.
They're totally really, on my playlist.
Really funny, creative. They were great in the show. I do not need to keep listening to them.
They're absolutely on my playlist. All right, what else is on your Hamilton playlist?
I think the songs that I like the most on Hamilton were like, I don't know the names of any of these, but that early one where he's talking about he's not going to waste his shot or whatever.
Oh, my shot.
Yeah, my shot.
Yep, that's on mine.
That one is so good. And Jen actually sent me a video where Lin-Manuel Miranda is talking about how he wrote that song. And oh my gosh, like that dude is a musical genius. Like he is on another level of music production and writing. I should try and find that video and put it in the show notes because it was really impressive the way that he was able to put these songs together. It was really good. Really good. Yeah. So I loved it. I've still only seen it once. I mean, you and all of our listeners know me. I don't make a lot of time for movies and TV shows. Mm-hmm. This is one that I'm going to end up watching again. I'm sure of it because it was really, really good.
I'm sure you will. But my favorite, absolute favorite track from this is Satisfied by his wife's sister. I don't remember the character's name.
Yep.
And that kind of carries a thread between two scenes, actually, that where when you get partway into the song Satisfied, you realize everything you've just seen is different than what you just saw. And I love how that plays out. And that's probably the song that I've played more than anything else and listened to. And that scene, because of all the intricacies in it and how it retells a story you already just watched, I've watched that multiple times just to try and catch everything. It's fascinating. And again, I'm going to encourage people to check out the episode of Let's Not Talk About Thrones, where we really dive in deep about this. And if anybody listened to our show, Let's Talk About Thrones, Jenny Josephson, she knows her stuff about what's going on in production and behind the scenes and everything, as does Anthony. And both of them have done so much research and understand so much about this, which is just fascinating to me as someone who comes into it blind. And I think that other people will enjoy it as well.
Yeah. So I do want to address one comment from Handsome Rob in the chat. He says he's been afraid to watch it because it's been so hyped up. And I totally get it. Like a lot of movies have been kind of ruined for me like that. Like maybe that's why I think the Batman movies kind of suck. It's because they were hyped up so much. Maybe it's just because I don't like superhero movies. But honestly, Rob, what I would say is, yes, it's been hyped up a ton. But I think the thing that is important here is I think the main reason it's getting hyped up so much is when is the last time you heard, you know, so much of the public saying you should totally go see this musical? Like it is 2020. No one like no one outside of like high school theater teachers are getting super geeked about musicals. But this one is a very modern interpretation of a musical. It's a uniquely, I don't know, I want to say a uniquely American story. It probably isn't, but I mean, it's so much about the formation of this country. And it's just done in a such a different way than, you know, it's not Oklahoma. It's not Fiddler on the Roof. Although Fiddler on the Roof, fantastic. You should watch that too.
I might argue that it's probably closer to Fiddler on the Roof than any other thing that I can think of, because it is like it still tells a story that's completely relevant today to the, you know, to about, you know, it's basically people dealing with social injustice in a different time.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
And the way he's cast it, and the lyrics, and again, this is what made me think that Fiddler on the Roof is a good measure. The lyrics, the wordplay in the lyrics are just amazing.
Yeah.
And it is, this is what people who appreciate hip hop really, really like about it, is just how ingenious the lyrics of it are, how ingenious the poetry of it is.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that has been lost on me in the past. It's brilliant. It is friggin' brilliant. Some of the things that they managed to spit out on stage, I'm like, how did he even get that out of his mouth, let alone how ingeniously right on target it is? And oh, by the way, everything rhymed.
Right. Yeah. Also, the idea of rap battles deciding the way that, like, cabinet meetings go, like, I'm totally down for that. I love that.
That was brilliant. Yep. That was brilliant. So, yes.
Okay.
Highly recommend.
So, we should stop geeking out on it. Yes, everybody should go and check out Let's Not Talk About Thrones to hear everything that you had to say, plus your other two co-hosts on that show. So, we'll get a link to that in the show notes, or you can just go out to all of your podcast players and just do a search for Let's Not Talk About Thrones. I'm calling it the right name, right?
Yep.
Okay. Cool. Cool. Hey, we convinced Handsome Rob to go and watch it. All right. So for me, I finished the audiobook that I've been working on. That one is the third book in the Throne of Glass series. It's called Heir of Fire. And this is the one that Jen said, like, this is the one where things get really good. And she wasn't kidding. Like, a whole lot of stuff happened in this book. I just finished it a couple of hours ago. It's really good. I think this series has finally made me figure out, though, why I'm not a super big fan of fantasy. It's because of the names. None of the names make any sense, and I can't remember any of them. You know, like, it's almost like a nightly quiz now in our house of her, like, all right, what's the name of this character and of this character? And, like, this one character has three different names, and I don't know how you're supposed to remember any of them. She does. She's obviously a much smarter person than I am. Everybody knows that Jen is way more than my better half. You know, she is everything. So, way smarter than me, able to actually keep all of these crazy names straight. But if you can get past the names, it's been a really, really entertaining series of books. In terms of things that I've watched, I've only watched a couple of things. I was looking for a show to get back into, kind of, so I decided to get back into Jack Ryan. I love
cool
spy stuff. Jen and I had started watching that together when season one first came out. We only got a couple of episodes in, and then we just kind of fell off of it. Like, she almost never watches TV, and I, like, even less than me. And I don't watch a whole lot of TV. So for us to find time to watch it together was weird and just didn't work out well. So I've started watching a couple more episodes of that. I think I'm through episode 4 or 5 in season one. Really like that show. I mean, it's right up my alley. And then games, just Call of Duty, NHL 20. Oh, and what the crap is it called? Tom Clancy Ghost Recon Breakpoint, I think is the name of it. It was on sale. It's another Ubisoft game. It's good. So that's it for me. That's it for this week's show, which has been running a little bit longer. Not surprised with all the Hamilton talk. but if you want to get a hold of us, we're on Twitter. Richard is at Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard. The website is at DigiMediaZone. We're everywhere else. Find all of that contact information over on the show notes page. Richard has another show called Home On, where he talks about the latest smart home technology. Anything you want to plug with Home On?
Other than I'm crazy late on getting an episode out because of everything that's been going on here, no, it's coming.
Okay, looking forward to it. And then we've switched the live show. We do record the show live. It's now on Twitch. You can just find it at thedigitalmediazone.com/live. it's working well. We've got a lot of fun people in the chat tonight. Hopefully we will see you back next week. We normally do this Tuesday nights, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Follow Twitter to know for sure when the show is going to be, because that's going to do it for episode 528. He's Richard Gunther, and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye.